A few weeks ago, I was trekking in Nepal with a group of scouts from our scout group here at the Good Shepherd. And on some of the longer treks, I'm sure you can imagine how it goes if you're walking with a group of teenagers. You've been walking for about 10 minutes, and then, of course, they say, are we nearly there yet? And then followed by, how much further to go? When you're walking for 5 to 8 hours each day, that becomes quite tiresome quite quickly. So we had to develop ways of distracting them from walking to just keep them going. And one of the things that we did to distract them was tell one another riddles that we had to try and solve. So the sorts of riddles that we were posing to one another were things like this. What can travel around the world while staying in a corner? Any ideas? A stamp. What gets wetter and wetter the more it dries? A sponge is nearly right. It's a towel, Jonah. But you were so close, and you were brighter than all of the adults. What is tall when it's young and short when it's old? That one's a candle. And this one, the person who makes it has no need of it. The person who buys it has no use of it. The person who uses it can neither see it nor feel it. What is it? That one's a coffin. There you go. Person who needs it, makes it doesn't need it. Person who buys it has no use for it. Person who uses it can't see it nor feel it. Well, that kept them going for a surprisingly large amount of time, I have to say. And some of the riddles were really perplexing, because the point of those riddles is that they're kind of irritating, actually, because you want to be able to solve them, and your brain kind of doesn't quite know where to start. Now, for the next few weeks in our sermon, we are looking at the theme of the kingdom of God. We're going to look at some of the different passages from the New Testament, but today we're going to look at that parable that we heard from Mark's gospel. And it's a story that Jesus told to teach people something about the kingdom of God. And when it comes to understanding parables, I think you have to treat them like riddles. Because the purpose of parables is to make people think. Parables are meant to make you wonder and puzzle about what they mean. So a parable should get under your skin so that you keep coming back to it again and again, trying to unearth the meaning, just like you do if someone gives you a riddle and you sort of think, I want to be able to crack it. Well, that's been my experience with the parable this week. I started out at the start of the week, I just read through, you know, I'll just see what my sermon's on, that, oh yeah, that's terribly straightforward. Then I came back to it and sat down and thought, oh, do you know what? This is really making my brain hurt as I tried to kind of get a handle on what it was really saying. And I think the key to understanding a parable is to ask yourself the question, what is unusual about this story? So there's always something that is a bit odd. What is it about this story that doesn't sit quite right? And why is that? Now, it's very short, so I'll read it to you again. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And as soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Now, hands up if you have ever planted any seeds. That's almost everybody. What do seeds need to grow? Just shout some things out. Water? Sun? Oxygen? The removal of weeds? Yeah, in order for seeds to grow, actually most of us know this because at some point in life we've planted something, they need oxygen, water, warmth, light, and the right location, like the right sort of soil. Now on the one hand, seeds grow naturally. That is why my garden is full of plants that have self-seeded. Or one might say, that's why many of us have gardens full of weeds, because things just grow naturally. But on the other hand, some seeds, especially crops like the corn in this story, they actually need to be nurtured and cultivated in order to grow successfully. So ordinarily, I would say that growth is the result of the relationship between the seed and the person who plants it and looks after it. Now, if you look at this section in Mark's Gospel, you'll see that a few verses before this story, Jesus tells another parable called the parable of the sower. And in that parable, he makes the point that it is hard for seed to grow, because he says, actually, the ground can be stony, or the weeds choke the seedlings, that's what David said, or the sun scorches the earth, and the young plants shrivel up and die. So the thing that is odd about this story is that healthy growth happens automatically, without the man having to do anything. The seed isn't looked after, but it grows anyway. And the other odd thing about this story is that the person who plants the seed doesn't look after it, which seems a really strange thing to me. So what's it all about? Well, at this point, it's helpful to remind ourselves of the context in which this story was told, because the Jewish people who were listening to Jesus were waiting for God to send his promised Savior. They were waiting for God to take action. And it's as if Jesus is saying in this story that God's action is like the dormant seed, that actually the seed will sprout and grow, even though the man doesn't know how, until eventually the corn is ready to be harvested. Like the Jewish people at the time of Jesus, I expect there are people here who have been, or perhaps are now, waiting for God to act. Perhaps we've hoped for something, perhaps we've prayed for something, but nothing has happened. And we can find ourselves wondering whether God is actually there, whether God is listening, whether God really cares. And I wonder if some of the Jewish people had almost given up hope of God sending a saviour, rather like the man in the story who basically scatters his seed and then just walks away. I wonder if they just thought, I don't think God's going to come through this time. Some of you will know that I enjoy gardening, and over the last few years I've put lots of new plants and bulbs into the vicarage garden. And the other day I was weeding one of the borders and I spotted a plant that I hadn't expected to see. And it was something I'd planted a couple of years ago, and then last year it died, one of the casualties of a very cold winter. And even though there's been nothing to see above the surface for a whole year, there was evidently still life in the root. And it has slowly started to grow again. It's one of those incredible sort of gardening anomalies that you think, well, where did that come from? You know, it had died. Sometimes I think our hopes and prayers are like that plant. You know, for a time there is nothing to see except bare earth. And in fact, for a time we might actually think, well, you know, the hope that I had, that hope is dead, like the plant. And then when we least expect it, new life appears. Part of the point of this parable is to remind us that actually God is acting on our behalf, that God is at work in slow and unseen ways. People often associate God, the idea of God, with sending a thunderbolt, but I don't think God does send thunderbolts. I think God plants seeds, seeds that very slowly germinate and then begin to grow, sometimes so slowly that we don't even notice. This time last year, during one of our services, we offer prayer for healing once a month, and I felt prompted to go forward to ask someone to pray for me. I didn't tell the person what it was for, but it's something that I have been praying about for 20 years, and I felt that nothing has really ever happened in response to my prayers. And for some reason, this time was different, because a year on, I can tell you that things have changed for me, and things are continuing to change. Very, very slowly, but I really sense that there is new life growing in me. And through this parable, Jesus seems to be saying, you know, we may not realize it, but God is at work in our world. And actually, God is at work in our lives. I wonder when was the last time you perhaps just paused and thought about your own life. I wonder if you can notice the green shoots that God is producing. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. In that verse, he's talking about himself. He's predicting his own death, but he's also describing the impact of the resurrection as well. And in the same way, I think this parable tells us something about who Jesus is and what he came to do. Like the seed, Jesus is full of power and potential. He is full of life. And like the seed that automatically grows, whatever Jesus touches is brought to life. And that growth isn't dependent on us. It is the very nature of God. That's what I like about this story. It's the very nature of God. He just produces life. Now, the other thing that is strange about this parable is the behavior of the man. Because as I said earlier, growth is usually the result of the relationship between the seed and all that inherent potential for growth, and then the person who plants it and cares for it. But in this story, the man scatters the seed, and then he seems to step back and do nothing. So are we saying that the message of this parable is, hey, Christians, sit back, put your feet up and relax, and just wait for God to provide you with a harvest? Is that the message of this parable? Because that's how you could interpret it. But I have to say, that doesn't really sit very well with me. It doesn't sound like a very Jesus-y thing to say. Hey, you're my special people. Sit back, do nothing, and I'll bless you. That just doesn't sound like the voice of Jesus to me. And it also sounds really smug and self-satisfied as well, that Christians could go, it's all right, my God is acting on my behalf. I don't have to do anything. But also, it doesn't solve the puzzle. And this is the bit that really bothers me, because why would you plant a crop and then not look after it? That's an idiotic thing to do. Any good gardener is intimately involved in the process of growth. You don't plant something and then ignore it. It makes no sense whatsoever. So I think this story begs a question. It's asking us, as people, are we just passive recipients of God's power? Or do we have a part to play? So are we just meant to sit there while God does stuff around us? Or actually, are we meant to be involved? So for me, within this story, there is an implicit invitation, and actually there is an implicit challenge to get involved in the process of growing and to get your hands dirty. In fact, I actually think there's a warning here for the Jewish people, sort of saying to them, don't miss out on what God is doing through the person of Jesus. Because the man is meant to play his part. The man is actually meant to water and weed and tend his seed. So the startling thing about the story is his absence and his abnormal behavior. Now, God doesn't need us in order to fulfill his purposes, because as we've heard, actually the seed can just grow by itself. He doesn't need us to do anything. But the difference is that God chooses to work with us. God chooses to work with us. And just as seeds grow because of the relationship that happens between the seed and the sower, God wants to work with us to bring about change in our world and to bring about growth in our world. Because being a Christian isn't about just carrying on with our daily lives while we wait for God to bless us. It is about working with God to see his kingdom grow. So in all that we do, recognizing that God can work in us and through us to bring about transformation. And it isn't fruitless labor either. It's not that kind of work where you just go, oh, I've now got another thing that I have to do to keep God happy. That isn't how it works, because he's not relying on us. It's that invitation to partner with him and that promise of a harvest. This will be part of this incredible, productive growth. So I have really enjoyed wrestling with this parable this week. To be honest, I'm still a bit like, I'm not 100% sure I've got it right, but the deadline was 10:30, so I had to commit to paper, I'm not going to lie. But that's what I really like about these stories, that actually, it's bothering me still. I'm genuinely saying, God, I've just preached the sermon. Did I get that? Is that correct? Is that what you're trying to say? It's really got under my skin. But I think I want to say today, you know, open your eyes and notice the life of God that is sprouting up all around you. Just notice the good things and the blessings and the changes and the hope and the growth. Because if you open your eyes, it's there to see all over the place. And I think my other thing to say is just put on your wellies and get outside and get involved. Because God isn't looking for Christians who just sit there and wait. He's looking for people who work with him to change and transform our communities and our world. Because that's what I think we are made for. And that's what I think we are here for, is to be partners with God. Amen.